Well, the game is just a day away. After a week of preview, Tennessee set to take on the top-ranked Bulldogs inside Neyland Stadium, a 3:30 CBS kick. What must Tennessee do to pull off this win? I'm going to tell you here on this episode. Plus, two insiders of the Georgia football program. They are guests here on a Friday show. Let's learn together, and let's head on to the weekend here on a Friday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Vols. It's your team every single day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, and at Locked On Vols. I do radio in Knoxville, the flagship station for the University of Tennessee. That's 99.1 The Sports Animal. I also write for the rival site covering Tennessee football and recruiting. That is VolQuest.com, and of course, your host here on Locked On Vols. Your first listen each and every day, available free and on all platforms. YouTube coming soon. Today's episode is brought to you by McDonald's, serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends over at McDonald's for always being there. McDonald's, I'm loving it. So, how does Tennessee pull off the upset? We'll discuss some ways here in segment one, but I really want to get to the meat of this episode. Christian Gokul of ESPN Coastal and Mike Griffith of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Dog Nation, those two guys are going to join me here in segments two and three and tell you everything you need to know about Georgia and their thoughts on what this game is going to mean and how this game is going to play out. So let's get into it. Tennessee, it's, you know, I've been talking all week. I've been talking about how great Georgia's defense is and how challenging it's going to be, that defensive front, how good it is, how I think that Georgia defense gets a little weaker as you continue to move back from the defensive line to the linebackers and to the secondary. But nonetheless, it's an opportunity for Tennessee to showcase this offense. What does Tennessee do well? Well, Tennessee does explosives well. People have been asking me all week long, how does Tennessee, you know, win this football game? How did Tennessee make this an interesting football game late in the second half? Well, I say explosive plays, courtesy of @vol_football on Twitter. 5 plays of 70-plus yards this season. That is tied for the nation lead. That is Tennessee's offense. You've got to get the football out on the perimeter. You've got to take your shots deep downfield. Heupel has got to scheme up some things in order to get some guys running free in the secondary. Because, in my opinion, you're not going to be able to run the football consistently on this Georgia front. We still don't know at time of recording. We still don't know what the availability status is for Jabari Small and Tyon Evans. Both of those guys left the Kentucky game and did not return. I like to think that they'd probably be healthy enough to go, because that's typically been the trend with those guys. Just a matter of if they can make it through the entire game. We'll have to see. But you've got to get the ball into the third layer of the defense. You've got to attack the perimeter, let Javonte Payton, let Valus Jones kind of do their work underneath, and steady Eddie with Cedric Tillman. Continue to move the chains and then take a shot with him as well. Hendon Hooker must be involved in the run game. I say this all the time. Tennessee's offense is at its best when Hendon Hooker is involved in the run game. Hey, listen, Tennessee, at the time of recording, you're still a 20-point dog at home. A 20-point dog at home to the top-ranked Bulldogs of Georgia in the country, a team that gives up 6.6 yards per points per game, and a team that is second in total defense, rush defense, pass defense, and first downs per game, just limiting teams to 13 first downs an outing. I think Tennessee scores more than that. I think Tennessee gets at least 14. I'm picking somewhere between 17 and 20 for Tennessee. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if Tennessee does go off and score somewhere between 24 and 27, just because, again, with this offense, you are never, ever counted out. So do what you do offensively. Don't let Georgia dictate what you do offensively, because what you do is unique. And Tennessee's one of the best first quarter scoring teams in the country. It's because there's an adjustment period. I truly do believe Tennessee has an edge in the first quarter of ball games because it takes a little while for the defense to adjust to it. Kirby Smart said on the SEC teleconference that you can't replicate that in practice. So Tennessee's first, second, and third series of the football game need to be critical. You need to get points out of that on offense. Defensively, hey, listen, you're tired. You have been out there on the field for 101, 92, and 99 plays the last three games. That is very much less than ideal, right? Very much less than ideal. I'm not saying send a kitchen sink every single play. I'm not saying blitz every single play. But, you know, what do you have to lose, right? Georgia's offense is not nearly as impressive as Georgia's defense is. But you need to mix some things up because when you sit in zone, you're getting picked apart. And Stetson Bennett, I do believe, is good enough to pick you apart in zone. I would blitz. I would send some blitzes from the secondary, from that star position in Theo Jackson, from Jalen McCullough at the third layer. I would send guys like Aaron Beasley and Jeremy Banks in the middle, mix and match and control your blitzes, though. Of course, don't just show it and don't do it all the time. But Tennessee's got to improve on tackling, and Tennessee's got to get in the head of Stetson Bennett. If Tennessee can get in the head of Stetson Bennett, I do believe you might see JT Daniels in this football game. But it's against the top-ranked Bulldogs. You're a 20-point dog at home. You know, what do you have to lose, right? No one thinks you're going to win this football game. Try some things out defensively. Mix some things up because what you've been doing so far the last three games has not been good enough. You've not been getting off the field on third downs. It's been atrocious third down defense. So mix up the game plan. Don't just go zone the entire time. Play some cover one over the top. Play some cover zero and send those backers and make it difficult for Georgia. Make Georgia earn everything offensively is what I'm trying to say here in this one. Can Tennessee make this a football game in the second half? We will see. I'm never counting out this offense with Josh Heupel, but I'm not picking Tennessee to win this football game. I'll say Georgia will win this anywhere from, you know, 28-17, 35-24, somewhere around there. But can Tennessee play four quarters of football? You played a half against Florida. You played three quarters and 4 minutes or so against Alabama. Can Tennessee play four quarters of football? Let's find out because it's evident this is a much better Tennessee football team than what it was at the beginning of the season, what it was last year. But can you still play four quarters against one of the big three? That is the challenge, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Tennessee can do against Georgia on Saturday. We've got Christian Gokul of ESPN Coastal coming up in segment two. But before that, McDonald's. Again, not just serving tasty and affordable food since 1965. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up to study and know that they're going to have dependable Wi-Fi, endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. All that is at McDonald's. Also, Little League Games, the home of the away team, it's a place where you can come to recharge. If you're looking for a place to stop, refuel, rest your legs a little bit on a long road trip, you know McDonald's is that place. McDonald's is a place that I feel like we all take advantage of because it's always been there, it's always been dependable, it's always been fantastic, and it's always been affordable for you and your family. Stop taking advantage of McDonald's today. Go ahead and use that as a place of fellowship for you and your friends. McDonald's, it's there for you, it's there for me. McDonald's, I'm loving it. I want to welcome on to the show Christian Gokul. He is the digital director at ESPN Coastal, and I want to get some preview on Georgia. Of course, Georgia at Tennessee. That's tomorrow, 3:30, the CBS kick. Christian, appreciate the time, man. What's kind of course, you're a part of a cluster of radio stations over there, and kind of what's the mindset heading into this football game? I think it's getting a lot of intrigue from a national perspective.
Yeah, I really think this started a couple weeks ago when CBS takes it up, and a lot of people are like, really, an undefeated team against a four-loss team? Why would CBS want that one? But now I think we all see why, right? You go back and look at Tennessee's schedule, a couple of really close losses, and since Hendon Hooker took over that team, maybe the fastest offense in the country is the best way to describe that. So I think from the Georgia perspective, it's, listen, this is probably the best team you faced all year. And, yeah, you've only given up five touchdowns, but this is a team that likes to pick them up and put them down. So I think a lot of Georgia fans are looking forward to this, but also cautiously looking forward to this because Georgia hasn't been tested like this yet.
You know, it's wild that you say that because, and again, I do agree with you. I just think it's a, I don't want to say a bad matchup for Georgia because I don't think any matchup's bad for Georgia. But maybe the toughest matchup, and that's interesting because Georgia's has defeated Clemson, has played Arkansas, you know, Florida, Auburn, and so, you know, it's interesting that we're kind of talking about this going in. Do you think that because of the fast pace and explosiveness of this Tennessee offense, it's a team that can make it interesting in the first half and potentially the second half, and can really push Georgia? How do you see this game playing out, I guess, is my question.
Well, I look at it and say Florida made this game interesting in the first half, right? Where they had 3-0 on Georgia going into the last 2 minutes of that half, and then all of a sudden you throw a pick six and you're down 24 points going into halftime, right? So I don't think Georgia defensively has been this, we're going to blow you out team. What I don't think is getting enough traction is this Georgia defense sets the Georgia offense up in plus field position so much that it really just, it's complementary football. We don't see a ton of that in 2021. If Tennessee can do what they do, which to me is you take the shots, even if they're not there, right? You throw it down there just to let Georgia's too high know that, hey, we're willing to take these shots. And then you start working that RPO game. I mean, Missouri last week against Georgia with a quarterback Georgia had never seen before, they were able to gash Georgia on some quarterback runs early. So, yeah, I certainly think Tennessee can keep this one close going into half.
You mentioned complementary football and setting it up in good field position. I look at this offense for Georgia. I mean, it's got 38 points per game, of course. It's no slouch. It's got a good offensive line. It's got five tailbacks that can go. It's got a quarterback that's playing smart. What are the limitations for this Georgia offense? Because all the talks about the defense, and rightfully so, it's not a bad unit by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like there are some limitations there.
I think the best way to describe this Georgia offense is it's super pro style, right? It's we're going to take what you give us, and we're not going to have an overt identity. If you're clogging up the middle, then they're going to try to run to the outside, and then they're going to try to beat you just behind your linebackers. If you're playing off like Arkansas did, they're just going to hand the football off until you stop them. They're super multifaceted under Todd Monken, and Stetson Bennett's been one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the country this year. I actually think he ranks above Bryce Young in terms of quarterback efficiency. And so you hear backup quarterback, but he's been able to fend off an injured JT Daniels, and now he's kind of rallied that locker room around him. I think he's kind of driven this to where he's the guy going forward. And with this Georgia offense, if you do come up and you try to stop that run, they've shown the ability with a healthier receiving core than they've had all season last week to hit you over the top. So really, they're going to take what Tennessee gives them.
He kind of led me into the next question there on Stetson Bennett. And also, he's number three in the country, 197.3 quarterback rating. Hendon Hooker is number four at 190.0 in quarterback efficiency. So a little under-the-radar storyline there with the quarterbacks. JT Daniels has not been healthy a day since he's gotten to Athens. But I continue to sit here and just be baffled in the fact that Stetson Bennett is the guy. And I get it. You know, why rock the boat? He's not done anything to take the job away from him. When you've got a good offensive line, when you got playmakers around you, when you got a great defense, it's easy to see why he's finding success. But what's been the talk, you know, down there in Georgia country about you just see that you have this talent in JT Daniels and he's not playing?
So I think there's two mindsets. One mindset says kind of what you just said there, where the ceiling's higher with JT Daniels, right? If you bring him in, your offense can be more explosive. But I think the other side has said, what else does Stetson Bennett need to do to prove he's the guy? I think last year, the Alabama and Florida games, and for Georgia fans, the Kentucky game as well, even though you won that game, it was a lot closer than a lot of people would have liked last year. Those games, I think, put a bad taste in their mouth about Stetson Bennett, where came out in the second half, wasn't able to do anything, and Georgia lost both those games. Well, the credit that we gave to JT Daniels about, hey, he hadn't had an offseason with Todd Monken yet. Well, neither had Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett got that offseason, and he's proven this year against Kentucky, had one of his most efficient games, went for close to 300 yards through the air and some touchdowns there. So I think there's just two mindsets between the Georgia fans. Some of them are like, listen, this is going to work against Florida and against the Auburns, but can Stetson Bennett beat Alabama? My question is, you said they're scoring 38 points a game. Do we see any team scoring 38 points against that defense? Like, why rock the boat there?
Yeah, it's a really good point. You look at the receiving corps, no George Pickens recovering from an ACL. Eric Gilbert has not been a factor for Georgia this season. You've got a freshman in Brock Bowers, tight end. And I know Georgia uses those tight ends like receivers. How big of a surprise has his play been so far this year?
If you follow a lot of the Georgia beat reporters, it shouldn't have been a surprise. I know we have Brooks Austin on our show a lot, and he was hyping this kid up all offseason. Georgia went out to Napa Valley to grab him. He's just, it's the athleticism and the way he can play that position. He's kind of the George Kittle of this Georgia offense, and it makes it really easy on Stetson Bennett. I have made this point, to be fair, to some of Stetson Bennett's efficiency rankings. He's thrown a lot of one-yard passes that Brock Bowers has turned into 30, 40, 60-yard gains. He has been a huge piece, kind of while this Georgia receiving core got healthy, and I think this week is about as healthy as you're going to see it. You have a legitimate two deep there for this Georgia receiving core, and I still think it's going to be A.D. Mitchell and Ladd McConkey that are the first two that you see roll out there. But you're also going to see a lot of Kyaris Jackson out there. You're going to see more Jermaine Burton, Arian Smith. So Georgia's about as deep as they've been with pass catchers all year.
We've got Christian Gokul on here, digital director of ESPN Coastal, also the host of Second Down ESPN in Savannah. And let's go back to defense here. A really, really nice linebacker in Adam Anderson is no longer is suspended indefinitely for some off-the-field issues. How big of a loss has that been for the defense? I know there's playmakers all around, but he was, you know, prior to last week, he was the leading sack getter for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I don't think it can be understated how big of a loss it is. And actually, yesterday, he was officially charged with felony rape charges. So I doubt Georgia sees him again for the rest of the season. But it's going to be guys like Nolan Smith who are going to have to step up. I think a name to watch out for going forward is Robert Beal stepping up on the outside as well. But the interesting thing is, big number 44, Travon Walker, he is a guy who can pretty much play any spot along the defensive line, but he came in as a freshman at Georgia, close to 300 pounds, about 6'3", 6'4", and he was on the kickoff coverage unit. And so we kind of saw in the Florida game him start to do this where they'd stand him up in that Adam Anderson position, and I think he's a guy you're going to see get involved more so just going across the line. You probably have Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, Devonta Wyatt, and then Travon Walker standing up on the other side, and I think that's about as good as it gets in the country.
It's wild. I was watching some film on Georgia, I believe when they were playing Missouri, and I saw them standing up Walker. I'm like, wait a minute. What are they doing with Walker? That is quite the skill set in order to do that. Last thing, we'll get you out the door, man. We're talking about this defense and what we think Tennessee could potentially do against this defense. And I feel like when you have an offense like Josh Heupel's, you can never count them out until they're down, you know, two or three scores late in the ball game, simply because you can score at the snap of your fingers. But respecting this defense with Georgia and what it is, and it all starts inside and out. Starts with big number 99 in Jordan Davis. He is without a doubt probably he's the best player on the team, one of the best players in the country. How cool has it been watching him over the course of his career, obviously, but here as a senior when he's about to leave and be a first-round pick?
Yeah, I think what a lot of coaches say, where it's just like, listen, just come back for that one more year, right? Unless you're projected to go top 15, come back for that one more year and just see what it can do for you. And Jordan Davis, I think, has proven that. And he's a guy who Georgia fans were kind of waiting his whole career just because of how big and how much of a mountain of a man he is, waiting for him to have this kind of impact. And it was struggles with maintaining his weight. He dealt with some injury stuff. And now finally you see he's healthy. You see he's just, it's just the fulcrum, right, where it matches up mentally and physically. And he's about as dominant as they come. And I think that more so, because everyone likes to talk about the DBs and the linebackers, I think this more so has been the signature of the Kirby Smart defenses over the years, right? The A'shaun Robinsons, the Jaren Reeds, just having that big, nasty guy in the middle that can create havoc for an offense, it frees you up to do so much defensively. And people talk about N'Kobe Dean blitzing. I don't think Georgia really blitzes when you go back and look at it. They typically send four, and it's because Jordan Davis eats up so much of that offensive line. Yeah, I think he's a guy that should at least deserve to have the trip up to New York. I know that probably won't happen, but it's been a lot of fun to watch him.
Well, a big thanks to Christian for stopping by the show. Be sure to check out all of his stuff if you want more preview of the Georgia side before Georgia comes up to Neyland Stadium for tomorrow's 3:30 bound. Follow all of his work. All right, we'll tie a bow on this show here on the other side, but back and better than ever. The new web interface and the start of basketball season is just in time. Brand new props, odds, and lines, better than ever. BetOnline, it remains your number one spot for all the college basketball, pro basketball, football action all year long. You can head to the new updated desktop or mobile website, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you need is the promo code Locked On to receive that bonus. So, promo code Locked On, you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. What that means is if I deposit $50, they're going to give me $25. If I deposit $300, they're going to give me $150. It's a great deal, okay? From basketball, football, to baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, it's still your fastest, still your easiest way to bet on all your sports. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. And you know we couldn't end a Friday show without talking a little bit about our friends over at Built Bar. It is the best tasting Built Bar it's the best tasting protein bar that you're ever going to imagine. It tastes like a candy bar. It's covered in 100% chocolate, and it's healthy for you. It's great for the low calories, low fats, low sugars, low carbs. For those people looking to lose or maintain weight that might need a little pick-me-up in the early afternoon, you need to go for a Built Bar. And if you order a mix box, you're going to get two of each of the 9 OG flavors in that mix box. You can decide which ones you like for yourself. You need to stay dialed into Built.com. Why? Well, they are, you know, they are swapping out flavors 3 to 4 times a week. You got new limited time flavors only at Built.com. So you need to stay dialed into that thing a couple of times a week and make sure you can order yours before they run out. It's Built.com. Use that promo code LOCK15 and you're going to get 15% off your next order. LOCK15. It's all at Built.com. Time to tie a bow on this Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Had a fun time so far, given our game preview, a short little game prediction. Catch up with Kristen Gokel, and now let's check in with Mike Griffith. Mike Griffith, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Dog Nation, covering the University of Georgia. Does a really, really nice job. A lot here, so take it all in. An insider's perspective on the Georgia Bulldogs. Here is Mike Griffith.
A team that has shown us they can score fast, a team that does things in an unconventional way that will test Georgia in ways that the Bulldogs haven't been tested yet this season.
Look at that Georgia defense, and it truly is. It's, you know, first in the nation in points given up per game, or at least thereof, and, you know, second in rush defense, rush, you know, passing, first downs per game, all that type of stuff. You know, what makes them – I think it's inside out with Jordan Davis in that defensive line, but what makes that defense so great?
Yeah, it is. A lot of it's the front seven, and it's the depth of the front seven. And you heard Coach Heupel talk about that, earlier today. It's not just Jordan Davis. Jordan's in there first and second down. You know, they're going to throw something a little different at you on third down. You got a guy like Jalen Carter. You know, keep your ear to the ground. This guy is another talented guy, Devontae Wyatt. These are guys that are going to be NFL players. Trayvon Walker. Defensive end. He's going to have an epic matchup with Cade Mays in this ball game. That's going to be exciting. Nolan Smith a few years ago was the number one prospect in the country coming out and really hadn't heard much from him. He was playing behind a future NFL first rounder in Azeez Ojulari, or early second rounder. And now Nolan is suddenly blooming, this 240-pound speed guy off the edge. I mean, I can keep dropping names and star ratings all day, but you get the point. So when they keep rotating these guys in, you can't really wear them down. And they have a lot of different options to try to beat you. And they'll play 22 or 23 guys a game on defense. Not just getting guys in. They have different packages. So it's intriguing to me to see whether or not Tennessee's hurry up or fast break offense, as I call it. No offense to Rick Barnes there. But I wonder if this will neutralize some of the substitutions or maybe limit the amount that Georgia can substitute and put in some of those specialized packages. It's a really intriguing matchup, and it's as exciting a Georgia-Tennessee game as I can remember in a while.
So with all those players and all those packages and, you know, playing 22 guys, how much of a loss is Adam Anderson? I mean, he was the leader in sacks whenever he went out 2 weeks ago.
Well, I mean, you know, he's a special player. I mean, he's 6'5", 230, runs a 4.45 40. I mean, he's, you don't see many guys like him, projected first-round draft pick. So, they've got another seasoned guy behind him. They got a guy named Robert Beal. Robert was probably another 4 or 5 star somewhere along the line. But it's not like they're going to drop off to some freshman going, hey, coach, what do I do? They got another grizzled guy that's hungry for an opportunity. He's a powerful guy. He doesn't have the speed that Adam did, or maybe the pass rush skills, but he's one of these guys that'll knock you into next week and pulverize you. And they've got some young guys that are coming up, that were 4 and 5 star signees of yesterday that are hungry for their opportunity. Everybody wants to be a part of a good thing, and when you're winning football games and you're playing with the lead, and you get confidence from that. So the big question to me is, can Tennessee get ahead and take Georgia out of that comfort zone? Because what happens if number one falls behind? We haven't really seen a lot of that. We saw it last week. Missouri was up 3-0, and it took a 4th and 5 shot play from Georgia late in the first quarter to take the lead. We saw Auburn lead on the Plains for 5 or 6 minutes, 3-0 in the first quarter. But we haven't really seen Georgia uncomfortable on defense. And that's where, to me, a lot of this game hinges, is can Tennessee get off to that fast start? Maybe not to the extent of the Kentucky game, but can they do some things early and take Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs out of their comfort zone?
Offensively, a couple of question marks in terms of injuries. Sawyer, the left tackle, Milton, the running back. What's their statuses for the game?
Yeah, I don't expect either one of those guys to play. And Kendall, a lot of people might remember, he's the guy, I think there was one play last year, took like eight Tennessee guys to tackle him. It was crazy. It was kind of his moment, if you will. But they're pretty deep at running back. Zamir White probably gets the start. He's a power runner, gets what's there. Missouri was able to stop him. 9 carries for 14 yards against Missouri. They entered the game as the last in the nation in rush defense, and they were able to hold him down. Cook is a little bit more versatile. I would call him a poor man's Alvin Kamara. No offense to Cook. His big brother is Dalvin Cook, by the way. But he's really good on the perimeter, on the edge. He's shown me he can run up the middle. More of a quick guy, really good hands. And Kenny McIntosh is a guy you might want to circle in this game, though. Kenny is a guy from South Florida. He can catch the ball really well. Had a nice one-handed catch highlight. Cutback runner. I think we might see a little more counter action, a little more trap action, because Tennessee really gets after it up front themselves. Kenny's a guy that might be able to exploit that with the vision, and I think he's actually more talented than maybe a lot of people realize. So I look for him. And Salyer, yeah, you're missing him at left tackle more than likely. He's a team captain. He's kind of the Swiss Army knife, kind of took over that role Cade Mays once had, a team captain, Jamari. But Broderick Jones this guy can pass block. This is another one of these five-star guys. I don't remember the number, 17, 18, something like that, but this is one of them. Second-year left tackle, can really pass block. Where he drops off a little bit from Jamari is in the run block game.
All right, so you look at the receiving game, and a lot of the names I'm going to mention are tight ends because Georgia will use these guys in a number of different ways. Eric Gilbert has not played. Darnell Washington has missed some time. Of course, Pickens is out recovering from an ACL tear. But Brock Bowers, freshman, tight end, and he leads the team easily in receptions and yards and touchdowns. You know, what makes him so unique?
Yeah, freaky. Shades of Jason Witten against Michigan in the Citrus Bowl. You don't see big guys like that running away from people. He's not quite as big as Jason, but he goes about 6'4", 230, 235, can hold his own in the run game. But look, he's in there to be a mismatch player, right? He's the move tight end. So he's not in there to knock the line. I mean, he can do that. He can hold his own in the blocking, but you're going to see him in motion. You're going to see Todd Monken move him around as a chess piece and basically try to create matchups that make Tennessee uncomfortable. And Bowers catches everything. I mean, again, freshmen aren't supposed to come in and look like this guy does. And when he catches the ball, he runs away from people, you know, like you might have imagined Red Grange once did looking at the numbers. It's just crazy to watch this guy play because you don't expect a guy to be 6'4", 230, run a 4'5", 40 with a 40-inch vertical jump. But be assignment sound. But that's who Brock Bowers is. He probably is the best tight end in the country. He's a slam dunk freshman All-American. Now, Darnell Washington, you know, speaking of freaky, this is legit. Now, people are going to think I'm making this up.
Tennessee fans know all about him.
The recruiting trail, right? I mean, who's 6'8", 275? This guy is a monster. I mean, he's unbelievable. And he only had one catch because with Stetson Bennett, they haven't thrown it more than 20 times in a game.
Yeah.
JT Daniels, and with all respect to Coach Heupel, very different offense with JT back there. Coach isn't going to throw his cards down. He knows what's going on. He's not going to insult Stetson and say that JT Daniels is a much better passer, but he is. And Darnell Washington and Brock Bowers and some of the perimeter guys that are just now getting healthy. Arian Smith last week, a 4.23 40 guy, legit. Jermaine Burton, he had the 197-yard game last year against Smith. These guys are coming off the injury list. They're healthy now. If you see JT in the game, it's going to be to take advantage of those perimeter weapons. Can Tennessee force that? Can they stop the run, take Kirby out of his comfort zone, wants to play action, wants to pound you, wants to stay on the field, but can Tennessee stop the run to the extent that they have to bring in JT Daniels cold off the bench? Or does Kirby throw us a curveball and start JT this week? Nothing is outside the realm of possibility, Eric.
Well, I was going to say, I'll leave you with this. Why Stetson Bennett? I understand when you have the team, when things are going right, why rock the boat? It's not like he's done a bad job. He's third best efficient quarterback in the country, Hendon Hooker number 4. Why Stetson Bennett over JT Daniels, who I believe is healthier now than he ever has been?
Yeah, you're going to get me in trouble here because the Georgia fans are mad at me for pointing it out, but Stetson 6 of 26 converting third down passes. JT's 10 of 11 in SEC games.
Yeah.
A lot of those numbers, and again, I don't want to take anything away from it. It's a great story. Mm-hmm. It's Rudy on steroids. It's the SEC's version of Rudy. Here's a walk-on guy.
And playing quarterback.
Walk-on guy, 2017, doesn't get a sniff. Transfers, goes to junior college in Mississippi for a year. Georgia begs him to come back because Fields transfers and they need a backup for Jake Fromm. Comes back, sits behind Jake, don't hear a peep from him. 2020, he's four string. Four string rolling into last season. Then Jamie Newman decides to opt out. Then we find out JT's Daniels' knee really isn't healthy. And then poor Dwan Mathis coming off brain surgery. His center can't snap him the ball, and receivers are running the wrong route, so they need a more experienced hand in there. And Stetson comes in and beats Arkansas. And then he beats Auburn. And then he comes to Neyland Stadium. Then he comes against Tennessee in Sanford Stadium. Tennessee leads at halftime, but Stetson beats him in the second half, right? And then he gets by Kentucky, right? And then things start to change a little bit, and JT comes on and just blows it up at the end of last year. And we're all on the JT wagon. Well, JT gets injured with this upper body injury. Stetson beats a really bad UAB defense that day. A lot of these big numbers come out of that game, by the way. If you look at his SEC-only numbers, they'll be a lot more telling. But they're able to get by, and they're winning, and Kirby's found a rhythm. It's almost like this pound-it, play-action game plays well with the defense. It's a little bit of a throwback. And if this is the team's comfort zone, then maybe you stay in it. And, by the way, you're keeping JT Daniels healthy. He's there in the bullpen. And you may need him to beat Alabama or A&M or Auburn, whoever you see, or whoever in the playoff. You may need him. And this is one way to keep winning games, keep JT healthy. And that's why this game is so intriguing, because Tennessee could be the team that forces this change, whether it's in-game or pre-game. It's the question is, can anybody take Kirby out of this comfort zone? Because like any other defensive coach, he ain't going to throw it any more than he has to. And he wants his offense to stay on the field, because the best way to stop the Tennessee offense is to keep them off the field, right?
Absolutely. And so for JT, I mean, how's he taking this? I mean, he's a competitor, I would assume. He wants to play because, like you said, sooner or later, and this is no disrespect to Stetson Bennett, but, Alabama in the SEC championship game, in the college football playoff, I feel like you're going to need JT Daniels.
Yeah, and by the way, the Alabama quarterback went to that same high school JT did. He actually followed him at Mater Dei. Here's the thing about JT, and a lot of people don't know JT really well yet. I mean, he was just kind of starting to emerge a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, painting the picture for you, here's a guy who was a high school national player of the year as a freshman, according to Max Preps. The high school national player of the year as a sophomore, according to Max Preps. And then the Gatorade national player of the year as a junior. And then what should have been his senior year, he was playing at USC as a starter. Only the second freshman ever to start at USC. This is all happening in your backyard. He's a Southern California-raised kid. So, all of a sudden, knee injury happens. He gets Wally Pipped to some extent. The other guy comes in. And rather than compete with this guy and go ahead, he says, you know what, this situation, let's just take it somewhere else. And Tennessee was very close. Oh, yeah. I don't know if people realize this. He was very, very close to being a Tennessee Vol. Jim Chaney really came close to getting him here. And, Kirby was able to maneuver in. And to answer your, I'm giving you this background because this guy's it made it something different. I don't throw Peyton Manning's name around often, and as we shouldn't, because he's arguably the greatest college quarterback of all time. But where JT is similar to Peyton is in the football acumen. When he goes to the line of scrimmage, his pre-snap reads are crystal clear, unbelievable, and he's getting out of trouble before he gets in trouble in terms of pressures, adjusting the line. I compare it to flying a jet. Yeah. He can make all the adjustments from the cockpit, and the offense is completely armed with JT, and part of that is the mindset that this guy has. So to answer your question, he's still helping Stetson Bennett on the sidelines. He's drawing up blitzes other teams are doing and helping the offensive line. I mean, he's taking it to the top, to the point where Kirby Smart and Stetson Bennett and players are commenting on how plugged in JT is and how much. It all sounds cliche, but it's really happening. And it's not just somebody saying, hey, do a good job. It's somebody who is actually making adjustments on the sideline at a coach's level. So his mind is – he's a big student, Eric, and I don't know how much you know about Trevor Moad, recently passed away, incredible motivational speaker. But he's a big student of Trevor's. And JT has that neutrality mindset. right? And he really is bought in of controlling the controllables. And obviously, but to your point, I'm with you. This has got to be putting him to the test because he's hungry to play. He's done nothing. The last time we saw him start a game, it was 35-0, and he left in the first quarter against Vanderbilt. And you lose your job, right? So, and he played some against Missouri. He had a pass that was actually deflected at the line of scrimmage and ended up a smidgen behind a receiver that got picked. I think he was 7 of 11. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him this game. And I still think you're going to see him before the end of the year. But Kirby's a chess player, man. And if he can push you back with pawns and knights, and he'll do that all day. But make no mistake about it. The rooks and the bishops are there. Yeah. When Georgia's offense needs to spring into life, and we've seen it happen in a couple SEC championship games, like, oh, wow, well, all of a sudden Jake Fromm's throwing for 300 yards. Yeah, that was always there, right? You know, it's kind of the nitrous oxide effect. And I think that's there for Georgia. And I think maybe Georgia fans, some Georgia fans, are kind of curious, you know, well, if Tennessee does get his head, maybe we'll get to see JT Daniels, get to see this explosive offense. So, but they don't want to get too carried away because, boy, I'll tell you what, I've covered enough Tennessee-Georgia games, and people know that have been around the block. This has always been one of the more unpredictable games, and Tennessee and Georgia have really spoiled one another's seasons on and off. It's a very unique animosity between. There's a begrudging respect between the schools, but there is no question that there's a degree of animosity between Bulldog and Vols fans.
A big thanks to Mike Griffith for stopping by the show. That's Mike Griffith of the AJC Dog Nation. A lot of good insight on the Georgia Bulldogs. That is going to do it here for a Friday episode. That's going to do it for a week's worth of Locked On Vols. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. And the numbers have been fantastic. Thank you for your continued support of this show. It means the world to me. Got a big game coming up tomorrow against Georgia. Let's see what Tennessee can do. And you know we're going to break it all down on a Monday Locked On Vols. So be sure to tune in. Now that we're done here with Locked On Vols, check out Locked On SEC. Tons of SEC games going on this weekend. Let Locked On SEC host Chris Gordy tell you all about it. Make that your second listen at Locked On SEC. Guys, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. If you're going to the game, be safe. Enjoy the time regardless. And have a great rest of your Friday, everybody.